Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Sans Pants Radio,
Australia's dumbest podcast network.
Hi, I'm Joel Dusha.
Hi, I'm Jackson Bailey.
And we are two-thirds of Plumbing the Death Star.
And I'm Adam Cannavale, 100% of the Dungeon Masters from D&D is for Nerds.
And he's our friend who we like but do not respect.
Correct.
Yeah. We're rude to you now, and we will be live for Plumbing Boys play/ruin Dungeons & Dragons. Where we're going to be mean to Adam, but he's going to be meaner to us on stage.
Yeah, and due to worldwide events that you may be aware of, we can't perform live to an actual audience.
A lot of our show involves coughing on people and just coughing and sneezing in general, so obviously we can't do it live. As you can imagine, that makes sense.
Yeah, so we've teamed up with our good friends at Stupid Old Studios to do a live stream and video on demand live show. That's right. So, Adam, how often is this show happening?
Yeah, tell me now.
It's happening once a week.
Get to it!
Quicker!
It's happening once a week for 4 weeks, starting June 20th.
At 12 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. If you can't make it live, that's okay. If you buy a ticket, you get access to a video on demand stream, and that link is live forever.
Yeah.
Or until humanity collapses and the internet isn't anymore. But that's...
Also,
forever for everyone.
You can buy a season pass. That's 4 episodes for the price of 3. That's pretty good. And the 4th episode's going to be the best one. We guarantee, no guarantees.
Anyway, head to sospresents.com to buy tickets.
Or, you know, any of the Sans Pants Radio social medias at Sans Pants Radio.
Joel Zammert isn't here today, but he'll be there.
He'll be there on the day.
Yeah, he's busy.
And seen.
Better.
If you're seeing this one, that means that the next take we did is even worse. So.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Plumbing the Death Star, where we ask the important questions like, how would you deal with the Cat in the Hat?
Mercilessly.
Casco's violent.
Yeah, straight off the bat.
This is the one thing everyone's like, Cass, her image and everything, she's always so sweet. Nah. Unless it comes to the Cat in the Hat, and then she's like, I will fucking kill that fucking cat.
He is going to taste the curb with his big cat teeth.
His big cat teeth is a bad sentence.
He does. I'm going to get a picture of the Cat in the Hat up so I know what we're dealing with. I have the lyrics
He's
to
smug.
The Cat in the Hat as well, just to so we know the what's going to eventuate. Yeah, the lyrics to the poem, The Cat in the Hat. He looks nice.
Annoyingly, I think he could... He looks like he's got a kind soul. He'd be nice to me.
He looks like he'd have a sweet voice. Certainly not Michael Myers' voice like they gave him.
The way he's got his hands tucked over his belly, I think is calming.
Oh,
yeah.
The Mike Myers one is terrifying.
Cass, are you suggesting that he's got his hands tucked over his belly like he had to do it to us? Is that the way he's standing?
He was the one who did it, first of all.
Yeah, and he had to. There was no other option.
We know he had to do it to them.
Yeah.
And he did, though. He had to teach those children a lesson. I think there is a difference between the Cat in the Hat of the book and the Cat in the Hat of the film. Mm. A comparison I've seen is that the Cat in the Hat in the film acts like a literal
devil,
like trickster god or something.
Yeah, sure.
Loki.
They compare him to a devil or a demon.
Mm.
Like I've seen online discourse about the Cat in the Hat, which again would prefer not to have. But
I feel like to me the Cat in the Hat has big 1920s traveling hobo energy. Like I know this isn't how it works, but
book, yes,
it feels like he turns up at the kid's door and is like, "I'll work for soup and a place to sleep." I think it's something about the fact that he's wearing a tie and no pants or shirt and a hat and his weird filthy gloves.
And the movie one is constantly just like, "Oh!"
Yeah.
And kind of wants to fuck the mom.
Yeah. I think that energy comes across in the story as well.
Is his tail a boner in the film? Please discuss.
I think at some point it goes very stiff and one could make the illusion. Guaranteed.
Yeah, that...
Is it when he's sniffing the dress or something?
Yeah.
Why can I imagine that scene?
It's crazy to imagine a scene where Mike Myers' cat sniffs a dress, gets a tail stiffy, and then we move on and pretend that's okay.
I think every scene in the film is a bad thing happens and us, the audience, have to move on and pretend that that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so, but if we're dealing with the Cat in the Hat, that means the three of us, assuming it's a book, Cat in the Hat, it's a rainy day, we're bored, something goes bump, and how that bump makes us jump, and we look, and we see him step on the mat, we saw him, the Cat in the Hat. And he says, "I know some good games we could play, I know some tricks, a lot of good tricks, I'll show them to you, your mother will not mind if I do." Ominous. How does he know?
Mm.
Is this meant to be like, I don't know what lesson it's meant to teach. Because if it's don't have fun, that sucks.
Well, I'm trying to find out how it ends. Because I only recall the Cat in the Hat comes back, the sequel, the eponymous sequel to the Cat in the Hat.
In which the Cat in the Hat comes back.
And in this one, he has a bath. Yeah, he has a bath, the Cat in the Hat, in the kid's bath. And he leaves a pink rim, you know, as you might do from various oils and secretions on the skin. And then
here we were thinking that the Cat in the Hat book wasn't horny like the film. In fact, I reckon Mike Myers signed on to play the Cat in the Hat because they were like, he was like, pink rim.
Ooh! I mean, who?
Shagadelic.
So the Cat in the Hat comes in. He's like, let's play some games. Our fish says no. First step, knock over the fish bowl. That's scary.
Yeah.
We have a rude fish and I'm not here for it.
So wait, you're immediately killing your household pet.
If your dog, two things have happened in quick succession. An anthropomorphic cat has come into your house and your fish has started talking.
Did the fish start talk or have we always spoken to the fish? If so, why are they bored? If your fish can have conversations with you, why are you sitting there being like, God, nothing to do?
Have you ever spoken to a fish before?
Actually, that fish sucks. The fish is like, what if we sat in the chair?
What the fuck is a fish
going
to say?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I wish I had more room.
This tiny bowl is too small and I have no pebbles or leaves.
There's no filtration system. I'm probably choking to death in my own feces and fish piss.
Shut up, you know, am I right?
Yeah.
You're to look at, not to be alive.
I miss when you just blew bubbles and shut the fuck up.
Okay, so we hate the fish. So I guess if our fish is like, don't play with the Cat in the Hat, we're going to be like I'd listen to you, fish.
Yeah, I wouldn't knock over the bowl. I think I would just let the fish do its thing, but I would ignore it. Because if the fish has been talking this whole time, I've been ignoring it this whole time. After the first week of being like, oh my God, my fish talks.
Mm. Also, like, a cat has come in. Of course the fish is going to feel threatened.
Cat eat fish.
Yeah.
It's science.
And cat
it's
wear
the
hat.
Food chain.
Okay, yes. So I've got the first game. The first game the Cat in the Hat plays with us, okay? I'm going to give you the name of the game, and you tell me if this is a game you think we'd respond well to. The game is called...
I'm going
to
interrupt you there and say yes.
The game is
I'm going to interrupt again and say I doubt it's a game. Let's continue.
You're both right on the money, because the game is called Up, Up, Up with a Fish, and it just involves the Cat in the Hat holding the fish above his head. So...
Oh, bullying, you say?
Yeah, it's not really a game.
That's within our wheelhouse. That's something we
Jackson.
Do to our friends.
Sign me up.
Yeah, absolutely.
If the game was called Up, Up, Up Joel Zammit, and it involves me holding Joel Zammit above my head, I'd be like, I'm doing it already.
Yeah. I think something very funny, and providing everyone's...
That's good.
Yeah.
I think something that is quite funny and providing everyone is comfortable with it, is picking someone up and putting them somewhere else, or picking someone up and just holding them and they can't do anything. As long as everyone's chill and it's not literal assault. I think that's like the height of comedy.
So the fish doesn't like it. That's what? Unfortunately, the fish isn't, you know, put me down. This is no fun at all. Put me down. I do not wish to fall, says the fish. But it's a fish. Will, there's no rights.
It does.
But as a fish, I don't care. The fish can't.
You're like, no, a cat's come in. The cat gets to pick. I listen to cat now.
Yeah, the cat is my new god, guys.
Same way as if a dog then came in, you'd be like, shut the fuck up, Cat in the Hat. There's new dog in town.
Great dog in pants.
I was but just Jackson. Imagining a stray. Shut up, alive Cat in the Hat with pants on. Who's this new dog that's clearly sick? This is my
It's
new
coughing.
God. It just sits Jackson. By the fire. Yeah.
Twist, though. Okay. See, we listen to Cat over fish.
Sure.
But we also listen to Cat over our parents.
That's a good point.
Parents aren't there, though. I am a child. I don't have object permanence.
As far as we know, Mum is dead. Okay? Yeah. Mum is dead, Cat in the Hat's our new dad. That's as far as we
the
know.
Cat, the cat is our god, and we have brains of dogs.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Mother has died. Mm-hmm. The only reason we care about the dress is... I don't know. We fear repercussions because we are dogs.
I suppose somehow we know that eventually maybe Mum will return.
We don't have hope. We believe in punishment.
Yeah.
We fear being told we are bad dog.
Yeah.
But that's a Cat in the Hat comes back. In this one, up with a fish. So the Cat in the Hat, I'll just walk you through what he does. Maybe we'll see if we're impressed. Okay. He says, look at me now, with a cup and a cake on top of my hat. I can hold up two books, I can hold up the fish and a little toy ship and some milk in a dish, and look, I can hop up and down on a ball, and that's not all. No, that's not all.
I'm impressed.
It's not a game, it's balancing. He's come in and said, can you do this? I am very talented. He's come in to brag. The Cat in the Hat, I believe, has a terrible life. He does not have fulfillment or friends. Maybe from the realm he comes from of devil cats, he is lower rung. And he's like, I'm escaping to where humans are so that I can feel talented. And then he gets there and they do not appreciate him in any way. So he tries to overcompensate. And like that's why he gets sad.
This narrative is like a lesser prince of hell comes in to balance for the gang.
Yeah. Counterpoint, Cass. So balancing isn't a game.
True.
It's just a thing. Sports are games, so trapeze not a sport?
I don't think trapeze is a sport.
Is that not part of acrobatics, which
I don't think acrobatics
is in the Olympics?
But not trapeze.
If you're thinking of the Olympics, trapeze isn't in the Olympics.
But aerobics is. And
I love when I
say trapeze,
Olympic
part of aerobics.
Trapeze. That's my favorite competition.
Also, I keep saying aerobics, but I mean gymnastics.
No.
Aerobics are... Aerobics not in the Olympics. Aerobics on TV at 6 a.m. before Cheese TV.
Yeah. I'm also pretty sure, I mean, what annoys me most about the Cat in the Hat here. So imagine, sure, the Cat in the Hat's game is balancing, and that sucks.
I was hoping we'd still be talking about the Olympics, but that's fine.
Okay. I don't know what more
Make
there is
trapeze
to say.
At the Olympics because it's the same as gymnastics. Surely trapeze is more impressive than...
Doing a
horse
jump.
Dog. What's it called? Horse dog. It's not called horse dog.
Horse
What's
dog.
What's the horse? What's the horse thing?
Dressage?
No, not with a horse. The gymnastics thing that involves the wooden
you
thing.
Mean
that's
the pommel horse.
Pommel horse. Pomeranian dog.
Okay.
Dog horse. It makes sense.
I can see how you got there. But no, trapeze is not a sport. So it's not a game. So balancing is not impressive. Also, the Cat in the Hat hasn't... He's like, imagine you're hanging out with a friend and the friend is like, hey, do you want to play a game? And you're like, great. And then they go and play basketball, but you don't. Watching the Cat in the Hat's playing the game. We aren't. You know?
I don't think, like... For all the talent and skill that is required of acrobatics.
Mm-hmm.
Or aerobics, as I kept saying.
Or aerobics. And like, yeah, it doesn't fall into the same category as sport, but it deserves respect and possibly an Olympic category. But it's not a game.
No,
like,
it's not a, and
sport
it's,
does not a game make.
And it's also not a trick. I mean, I guess it's impressive, but if you read on, you
skateboarding discover- is also just balancing, but moving and balancing, and they do things called tricks. So, yeah, balancing's a trick.
Put it in the Olympics.
Skateboarding, I think, was in the Olympics.
It's in the
for
X
bit,
Games,
maybe.
I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely in the X Games.
So, would you?
Everything
been-
should be in the Olympics. Just make the Olympics longer.
Yeah. Would you be impressed if the Cat in the Hat had come in and skateboarded? If he was like,
yes.
How about a trick and did an ollie?
No, if he's doing an ollie, I'm not impressed.
If he came in and said, I'm going to do a trick and then did skateboarding moves. Yes, yeah. But he's coming. It's like if he came in and was like, I want to play a game. And you're like, okay. And he starts doing backflips. You're like,
but what's the game? The game is watching me. Shut up.
If I said, want to watch a game, play a game again, I did backflips, would you not be impressed?
Well, it's not a game.
I'd be impressed, but I in the back of my mind, I'd be like, when's the right time to bring up that I'm not playing anything?
Yeah, absolutely.
You've offered me a game. It's like if someone's like, hey, do you want pasta? And you're like, yes, I really want pasta. And then they give you pizza and you're like, this is the best pizza I've ever had. However,
it's not even, it's like someone's like, do you want pasta? And you're like, yes. And they make themselves pasta. You're like, well, oh.
Jackson, is it still a game? So, chess, that's a game. We can agree on that.
Okay.
Or checkers, or any board game. Where,
we can't
or
agree.
Monopoly. Game. Yeah. There's a games.
Yeah. Or Ms. Monopoly.
Yeah, or Ms. Monopoly. Hashtag girl or Ms. boss. Monopoly. Absolutely.
Oh my god. I just all the tweets around that with like, because they shared photos of her, like, she's Mr. Monopoly's niece and she's like a self-made millionaire. They're like, she is the niece of a millionaire.
She's not self-made.
Stop. She's like, I'm sure she did great things with just a small loan of $1 million. She's part of the problem. She's
absolutely.
Still a landlord.
Except in Ms. Monopoly, you're living on the invention of Spanx and Wi-Fi, not houses.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't buy houses. You buy concepts of things being invented by women.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
All the stuff you buy. Or what?
Do you invest?
Yeah.
Sure, you've still put houses and hotels on it.
Yeah, you
but
do.
My but point, my point still is it still a game when it's not your turn?
Yeah, but I'm still playing because it will
your
be my turn.
Your turn's coming, though.
Yeah, well, your turn might be coming. It might be your turn to hold the fish.
No, that's
okay. What I'm saying.
No.
Well, as we can see as the narrative continues, everything the Cat in the Hat balances, including the fish, fall on his dumb head. And the fish falls in a pot somewhere and complains. And then the Cat in the Hat runs away and he gets a big box. That's the next step in the Cat in the Hat narrative.
If the balance went successfully, though, do you reckon we were meant to beat him? Like, as in, like, balance
with bats?
More stuff than he
no,
did?
No, I have no faith in this ridiculous cat's narcissism.
Well, yeah,
sorry, I have full faith in this ridiculous cat's narcissism. He's a lesser prince of hell, to feel better about himself, and she's shitting the bed.
Yeah.
Cass draws the line earlier than I do, where I'm like, oh, I'm still going to give this cat a
we'll
chance. Maybe it was my go. This
to.
Is a game.
I have become slightly convinced he's robbing us somehow. That as he keeps
us
distracted. Is that, I don't think that's the plot of the cat. And we looked in the back, and how about that? The Cat in the Hat had robbed us blind. Oh my god, Sally, call the police. Who was that man?
Money, coins, all gone, oh my.
I reckon, like, me, with all my sentient sapience and having read the book, me now, I'm like, this is a lesser prince of hell. Mm-hmm. If a cat in the hat came into my house after I said I was bored, I would believe it was some sort of divine punishment on me.
Okay. That in some
like,
strange way you summoned the cat in the hat. Yeah, for sure.
Maybe the narcissist wasn't the cat, but in fact was the Cass.
Oh, no.
The Cass in the Hass. The Jack in the Hack.
The Joel in the Hole.
Yes.
It's nice in here. It's deep, but no one talks to me.
I'm in Tron, and Cass is in a Hass avocado, I guess.
Yes, I am the gentle seed caressed by Smooth.
It's good to imagine
Smooth and soft.
Dusha poking his head out of a hole, Cass sitting comfortably in a Hass to avocado and me just screaming, fighting off drone guys. Oh my God, I got the worst one. I'm in a hack. What does that mean?
So it's Tron with no rules because someone's hacking.
Yeah. Help. So he runs out as fast as a fox and he comes back with a box. It's a big red box.
Fast as a what? A fox.
Fox. And he shut. It's shut with a hook, the box, and he says, look at this trick. Take a look. He calls. So it's a new game called Fun in a Box.
I'm going to stop. No, I'm going to stop says you there.
Like, he called it a trick, then he calls it a game. So.
Oh my God, this dude sucks.
Yeah, I call this game Fun in a Box. In this box are two things. I will show to you now. You will like these two things, he says with a bow.
I disagree. Yeah. I know what thing one and thing two are about. I hate them.
Yeah. Two things, and I call them thing one and thing two. These things will not bite you. The moment someone says something won't bite you, my assumption is it will bite me. Because you have to clarify.
Just to be like, oh, it won't bite you. I'm like, so what will it do?
It won't bite you means it has the ability to bite you.
Yeah, or it looks in some way like it's going to bite you. And I also, like, looking up a picture of Thing 1 and Thing 2 right now, I hate them with a passion. I love them.
They look like skunks. Yeah.
I don't know how the book illustrates them. My memory is that they're in onesies that only open at the neck.
Mm-hmm.
Which means they've never come off.
Are they onesies? What I'm noticing about them is that their torso is incredibly long and like a sausage, and that's real bad. Where are their knees?
I was imagining them in striped things, so they don't look like skunks. I sound like a madman.
No, they still look like skunks or like scum.
They're weasel boys for sure.
Yeah, I hate them. Why are they?
Their chest. It looks like their ribs are popping out because of the way they're standing.
Yeah, absolutely. And
the creases around their chests, I hate.
Yeah, the thing one and thing two don't look like things that have been stuck to the front of their jumpsuits. They look like protruding bits of their skin, you know? Or like that's their ribs in some way. Anyway, I hate them.
I've just found, I'm trying to find an image so I could join in on gazing upon them.
Yeah.
First of all, their hair reminds me of trees.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. I found a website called Squirrel Thoughts where someone's annotated the scene of them emerging from the box with arrows to the box saying, no air holes, how did they breathe?
Oh, no.
Hey.
That's bad.
Want to hear something fucked about Thing 1 and Thing 2 and proof that I won't like them? It's canon that they helped the fucking Grinch.
What?
What?
When?
Say more.
What are you basing this on?
A postcard I saw.
What?
It's about time Plumbing the Death Star started plumbing postcards. Run out of traditional media. Time to get on.
Look.
It. Oh my
they
God.
They stole a fucking Christmas tree. They but also are. The description what says... Oh no, Thing 1 and Thing 2 are up to their old tricks, have teamed up with the Grinch to sabotage our Christmas cheer in this design of the postcard I'm looking at, which is Thing 1 and Thing 2 running away with a Christmas tree.
Look,
but the Grinch, so,
mischievous, troublesome, troubled as well.
Does this go back and check?
Yes.
Oh, I hate this so much. So does this imply that the Grinch tries again to steal Christmas? Like, his heart grew three sizes and then he was like, no, fuck Christmas. I don't know how to be without my misery.
His heart
I'm
grew
going
three...
back to isolation.
His heart grew three sizes, but it was temporary. Like, a week later, he's like, oh, it's shrinking. Oh, fuck the Who's. I'm going. I'm still a monster. And now, a quick word from our sponsors.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Also, hey, plumbing is sweet as a summer breeze and all, but did you know that we produce at least 8 other podcasts? Maybe you wish we'd stop talking about superheroes and Star Wars and dog dicks and instead sort out which kind of frog is the superior frog or what would be the best kind of metal to be crushed under. If this sounds like you, then why not head to sanspantsradio.com and search for Shut Up A Second, a nonsense podcast that's far better than it has any right to be.
His heart grew 3 sizes, but then his body caught up and it was all relative again and he had to go into hiding. He was freakish.
He just got bigger.
He had a growth spurt.
that's all that was happening. It was just an inconsistent growth spurt.
Well, it's possible for people to learn their lesson and then unlearn them immediately, and that's something true. That we should respect.
If during Christmas someone was like, oh, the Grinch, I still...
People never change.
Absolutely. I probably still wouldn't be comfortable with the Grinch living in Whoville if I lived in Whoville. Even though he sang a song, he did steal our presents. So, I don't know, maybe that makes me a bit... Maybe that's not politically correct, but I don't want the Grinch in Whoville. Sorry.
And sure, maybe the message of Christmas isn't just presents, but that's my favorite fucking bit.
That bit's nice.
I love the presents.
I bought a nice present for my wife, and then the Grinch nicked it. And then, because he brings them all back and we had a big sing for some reason, I don't know. Put him back in the mountain. I don't know.
My wife doesn't trust that this is the present I actually bought her and thinks that maybe the Grinch mistaken it for another nicer present.
Yeah.
Long story short, my wife wants a divorce for lying. I wasn't lying. The Grinch has ruined my marriage.
I think the Grinch is sleeping with my wife. I'll say it. I've said it.
Just everyone, you, the one who in the center of the town, all the other who's in a circle around being like, Jackson, I think there were more problems. I think maybe this was a catalyst, but I don't think it was the root.
Jackson, I suspect you're projecting onto the Grinch. No, no.
Then the Grinch emerges from the crowd, his arm around your wife, being like, Jackson, buddy.
Do you not
We're
see?
Just friends.
But do you not see? And then I go up into the mountain, and it's the Jackson that stole his wife back, or whatever.
Thing one and thing two help you carry your wife away. Much like this famous postcard design that I cannot find the source of, except Zazzle.com.
Your wife being, like, carried up the mountain, you get there, the thing one and thing two put her down, she's like, no, and just walks back home.
Jackson, I don't love you anymore.
Oh, I love the Grinch.
Fuck. I'm gonna get off this snowflake.
I've always suspected it, but honey, it really hurts when you say to hear you say that.
Why do you have to pick the Grinch? He's like a green yeti.
Why do you have to pick the one man I hate the most, the Grinch?
Imagine what that's doing for my self-esteem, darling.
Why can't...
Please think of me, the one with a lot of issues who I refuse to get looked at.
Please think of me, the man who kidnapped you up a mountain. How about I get a bit of sympathy?
Why? I mean, the Grinch got sympathy when he stopped being a piece of shit. Why can't I get sympathy when I do a bad thing and immediately sing a song?
Jackson, you didn't even kidnap me yourself.
Yeah, I got these
you
little
got
guys.
You got these slave children from a cat, and you made them do it.
I made a deal with the lesser
I'm
prince
taking
of hell.
Them, actually.
I just wish you had fallen in love with Freddy Who You Who from down the street instead of the Grinch.
Yeah, he's like an ape and a, you know, yeti at the same time, and it's, I don't know.
See, this is why we've had a lot of issues. You're just so close-minded.
It's good to imagine
a
who.
We live on a snowflake. I don't...
Yeah, it's hard.
Why did you fall in love with a man who was stealing Christmas? Did this start when he was a bad... what was the appeal?
Because you stole my heart!
When did you meet? Why does that? It's good to imagine a Who in Whoville pulling out a big Zeusian telescope and looking at me up on the hill and being like, oh, he's hashing it out. That's good.
That's all the Who's gathered around and it's like, okay, so they're talking.
They're figuring it out. I think they're going to come to some kind of accord.
Oh, she I'm looks mad. No. Oh my gosh, she's taking the twins.
He's crying. Yeah.
So, okay. Cat in the Hat.
The thing one and thing two, okay.
Don't trust them.
They pop out of the box and the Cat in the Hat says, hey, how do you do? Would you like to shake hands with thing one and thing two? Absolutely not. Well, Sally and the protagonist of the Cat in the Hat soliloquy, they do not. They don't shake hands with thing one and thing two. And in fact, the fish once again gets a word in. The fish says, no, those things should not be in this house. Make them go. They should not be here. When your mother's out, put them out, says the fish from the pot. But the Cat in the Hat's like, these are good things. And he gives them a little pat. They're tame.
Oh, my gosh. See, when they asked to shake my hand, I would be quite disturbed. I probably would out of like shocked politeness. But like, as I said. Oh,
absolutely.
Their little outfits, which might be their skin, happen from the neck down. So I would just be looking at it being like, this is unclean.
Mm. So the thing one and thing two then get Mum's new gown, the one with polka dots, and they turn it into a kite, which is impressive. And they just start knocking shit all over. But like,
is
I'm
the
too
impressiveness noted in the book, or is that just your reading of it?
That's just my reading.
Are the children impressed?
Important to note that Thing 1 and Thing 2, well, Thing 1 likes being called Thing 1, but Thing 2 prefers to be called Thing A, Super Thing, Thing Kid, Kig, Dynamite, Chocolate Thunder, or Ben.
Yeah, that's bad.
I slurred most of those words.
Ben.
So,
well,
Thing
I'm
1
gonna
says he's Thing 1 for a reason. It's a thing right, you wouldn't understand.
What are things?
Great question.
What are things that there can be a thing? I don't understand.
So that, I mean, I know that we find out that there's more things underneath their hat.
Yeah.
Oh wait. My God,
no, that's the Cat in the Hat comes back, and they're not more things, they're smaller cats in the hat.
Are they things?
No, they're cats in the hat.
Is the Cat in the Hat a thing?
No, the cat
is
in
it the
hat
same breed?
It's less a prince of hell, and these are like imps or, you know, smaller demons.
But it's a thing.
Yeah, well, it's a thing that's only relevant to things, and not being things, we can't comprehend it. That's
yeah,
just
that's
how it works.
Not for us to say.
Yeah,
I think we have to leave that one.
By finding that quote, it's also important to note that when the cat rocks up, that's when the fish starts talking. We've never spoken to this fish before.
Okay, then to reiterate, I'm killing the fish. Because
no, like, so sorry, you have an anthropomorphic talking cat come in, and the cat's like, hello, this thing is clearly not of this realm.
Yeah.
And then the fish chimes in.
Yeah.
And you're like, the fish is the problem.
Well, the fish shocks me. The Cat in the Hat comes in and he's like, I'm the Cat in the Hat. What do you think about that? And I'm like,
which isn't shocking at all.
You're just being tricked by confidence again.
Yeah. And I'm like, holy shit, there's this talking Cat in the Hat. And then the fish is like, this is bad. And I'm like, and I just push the tank over and it smashes and the fish flops on the floor. And then I throw it in the bin or whatever while you guys deal with thing one and thing two. I'm flushing the fish.
Jackson isn't just impressed by confidence here. The fish actively tries to stop him from being a silly boy.
Yeah.
And that's Jackson's kryptonite. Yeah,
absolutely.
Because the fish's first line is stop this right now.
Yeah. I would
and then
love
like,
the Cat in the Hat. Are you kidding me?
Just the idea, that the fish has been like in its bowl, observing all the workings. And I'm sure these children have acted out before because they're kids and just seen things and been like, yep, most things are fine. He's probably seen things like parents fighting. He's probably watched the news and there's been a lot of things going on. And it isn't till the cat comes in and he's like, okay, I gotta say something.
Yeah, look, there was nothing worth commenting on before, but it's time for me to put my fish opinion on the table.
The actual quote from the fish sounds like it's talking to Jackson anyway. Because it says, stop this right now. Then one of the children, let's just say Jackson, replies with, who said that? And the fish says, me. Remember the fish? Came home in a baggie. You loved me for 2 weeks. Then nothing.
I like that you have clearly the script for the Cat in the Hat movie and I have the Cat in the Hat poem. That's good. That's such a more aggressive exchange in the film. The fish is bitter as fuck.
Well, yeah, and then the cat mocks the fish by saying, like, well, Sally, Cass, says the fish is talking. And the cat says, well, sure, he can talk, but is he saying anything? No, not really.
Oh, that's
eat
propaganda.
Fish. That's good. This cat's all right.
Jackson loves the cat.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this cat and his hat. So, thing one and thing two, they fly kites, they knock shit over, we're cut clearly at this point. We catch them in a net, according to the original poem.
The cat knows what hepatitis is in the film.
Okay, let's explore that.
I think it leans into Cass's hell theory.
Yeah, I think in the film, and again, it's not my hell theory. It's I never.
That's canon.
I'm not claiming Prince of Hell coming up, filling the children's head with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Sorry, what context does the cat know about hepatitis?
Sally says that Cass says that this is just like being in the circus, and the cat says, "Yeah, but without the tortured animals or drunken clowns that have hepatitis."
Why does he think the clowns have hepatitis?
I think that's just a rude slur, basically. But he knows what hepatitis is.
He's throwing shade at clowns for some reason. That's just like an extra edition clowns don't need, you know?
Do you think that the cat sees the clowns as competition? Because if a clown rocked up to your house. These are all things that, like, the cat does what you would expect a clown to do. A sad clown.
No, the clown doesn't seek to destroy.
Only to entertain. Well.
Yeah, the clown seeks to build, and the building is community and laughter or emotion. It depends what kind of a clown. You definitely want to have a shared experience. Maybe you want to make someone uncomfortable and make them confront some things, but it finishes, you know?
Yeah.
This whole thing is just like, it sounds like the fish is. Like, hello, children, I am a consequence you have never faced because it never affected you directly. I am going to narrate the consequences of your choices.
The fish is like our Jiminy Cricket-style conscience in this situation. Would you like to know how it ends? How it all comes to a close?
Yes.
Big mess, okay? Big mess in the house. Cat in the Hat, we're like, mum's coming home soon, apparently. The fish is bringing this up, I guess. Then the Cat in the Hat's like, well, I'll clean it up. And the Cat in the Hat, in the same way that the cat balanced earlier, balances everything that he threw around and got messy with, and then presumably disappears. And then the last line of the whole poem is, when her mother came in, or last couple lines, and she said to us too, did you have any fun? Tell me, what did you do? And Sally and I did not know what to say. Should we tell her the things that went on here that day? Should we tell her about it? Now, what should we do? Well, what would you do? If your mother asked you. So, I know early on, what we were like, what's the moral of the Cat in the Hat story? And I still don't know.
It's kind of like, lie to your parents, because it's clearly being like, obviously you can't tell your fucking mom and dad, you fucking idiot. So you gotta lie sometimes. And that's my message too. Lying's fine, as long as it's a good reason. If you're gonna sound...
You're protecting a prince of hell. It's fine.
Yeah, well, or your own feelings, because, like, if you're like, a Cat in the Hat came, your parents are like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, my child
and then you get told
to
off.
Away. Yeah, don't
get
tell
yelled
lies
at sucks,
Cass.
Lie if you're going to get told off.
But the context of this book is the parents read it with their kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Chuck a lie out.
You got to lie. If it's going to hurt someone's feelings, just lie.
So
I'm happy to say that. If you've done something that's going to hurt someone's feelings, lie instead.
So your reading of the book is that the book finishes and the parent is reading it and saying, well, what would you do if it happened to you? And the kid has a bit of like that first time that you realize something that you're capable of doing and you're like, oh, okay, so if I didn't tell my parents in this instance, I wouldn't have to face any of those consequences they were so worried about. And therefore,
the house is trashed.
No, it's not.
No, not in the poem.
He fixed it.
The cat cleaned it all up. Mm-hmm. So they're like, okay, so if I don't say anything, then none the wiser, everyone's fine. But my mother literally just asked me, and I know to save her feelings, I would say, yes, mother, I would tell you about the prince devil intruder.
Well, see, Cass, this is actually the trick that Dr. Seuss has laid for us, because the correct answer is actually the first lie you tell your mom. Because you say, of course, mother, I would tell you. But in your little child brain, you're like, I would never tell you about my cat in the hat devil friend.
That's what I'm saying. You hear the ending and you're like, well, I understand that this book has shown me consequences, projected consequences, and actual consequences. And if I say anything, then the projected consequences that are now being erased come to light, which means that I could get away scot-free, as it were. And then your mother is asking you, and you are like, well, I know that in order to be safe in the future from projected consequences, I pretend that there would never be simply projected consequences. She would be informed of all my comings and goings.
Yes, it's important to know that Plumbing the Death Star, from this point onwards, endorses lying to your mom. Because if she thinks that you're crazy because you saw a cat in a hat, it's better to just lie. It protects her feelings, protects your feelings. She doesn't know you've been visited by the devil.
What if you need help?
Well,
hey, if you think you've been visited by the devil... sharing it might be beneficial for your life.
Just cop it. Tell no one. Take suffer it to alone. The grave.
Suffer alone.
Yes.
I really love, though, that in the Cat in the Hat narrative, there are no consequences. Crazy shit, the message seems to be, crazy shit can happen and you'll be fine. So, like, I think the question is, how would we deal with the Cat in the Hat? It doesn't matter. Like, whatever. At the end of the day, things go back to normal anyway. I would be like, that was a crazy afternoon.
So, Cass and I deal with this flawlessly. I learned the wrong lesson. Cass learns the right lesson. But, Jackson, you've killed your fish.
Yeah.
I'm the only one who suffers real consequences. Mom comes home and she's like, how was your day? And you're like, fine, but Jackson killed the fish. I'm like, it talked. It told me not to be mischievous. Then I'm sent away. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
They're like, Cass, is this true? And I'm like, no.
Oh, what? Oh, I taught you to lie and you used it immediately against me. I get sent away too.
I have not learned that lesson. No. Yes, it did, and then I killed it. Look, Mom, I'll do a recreation. Jackson, don't cause mischief. Smack, 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 smack.
The proper outcome of The Cat in that Hat, i.e. how it was written, is sitcom rules. Everything falls to shit and then nothing has changed. Like, by the end of the book, I'm sure the fish never speaks again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I killed it, so.
Well, yeah, at the end of your book, they have to change the set permanently. You live in some cooked sitcom world where they've, like, introduced a child and they have to age up the actors or something.
Absolutely. I'm living in Friends if I killed Ross's son. That's what I'm living.
The depressed Susan timeline.
Yeah.
Is that her name? Or is that the name of George's wife that dies from licking stamps?
The name of George Costanza's wife that dies from licking stamps, yeah. And then George later on licks stamps. He slips on a stamp and he breaks his coccyx. And his friends, Jerry, George, and Jerry, Elaine, and Kramer, they don't care.
Yeah.
And on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Joel Dusha.
I've been Cass.
It's okay to lie to your mom.
No, don't do it.
Be careful of envelopes, I guess, is the message of Seinfeld.
Remember, there are no consequences to anything.
Seinfeld may be called Seinfeld, but it's actually about Friends too.
Whoa. Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows we do here at Sans Pants Radio, then why not subscribe to SansPantsPlus.com? For as little as $5 a month, you could have access to a whole bunch of bonus shows and content. Once again, that's SansPantsPlus.com.
My name is Garrett Braxton. I'm a software engineer at State Auto. I chose to attend Columbus State because of their updated curriculum. The Information Technology Flexible Apprenticeship really exposed me to the industry level of programming, taking the route of a community college and using those hyper-focused classes and the lower tuition lessens the stress of the college experience. I chose Columbus State. Now, I have a career as a software engineer in Columbus's booming IT industry.
Apply today at cscc.edu.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.